to deal with here, page 34, is what to pray for your children. Amen. But I want to go back for just a few minutes here at the first. In the session that I taught you last night, we talked about affection and love and praise and encouragement. And a lot of times parents, you know, even I hate to go to a church service or listen to a tape, whatever, and you get so inspired and you think, man, I'm going to do this. And then you think, but I'm not sure exactly how. You know, preachers are notorious for getting you all inspired to do something without giving you the roadmap and telling you how to get there. And so I want to deal just a few more minutes on affection and love, because I want you to understand there are things that you can do. Of course, the number one thing you can do is to tell them. Your mouth, your words are so vitally, vitally important. Talk to your children. Talk to them and express your love to them by the things that you say. But do you know what? We said that affection was the love in word and in deed. And so I want to share some things with you that you how you can show love in deed by the things that you do. Of course, you know, telling them, we said that. But you know, you can do just little things. A lot of times I'll stick a little special note in their lunchbox to go to school on. When we have to leave them for a trip, you know, and going to be gone for overnight sometimes, which we try not to be, but the older they get, the more reasons they have to stay home. And so, you know, I'll pack little special notes and tell them I love them or how special they are. Or, you know, just, you know, whatever's going on in their life and encourage them in that just through a little note. You know, through a little card. And, you know, I used to have to make my own, but today you can go in a bookstore and they have cards that are called cards for kids. You know, kids encouragement. And so you can, you know, if you can't figure out something to write on your own, just go buy what somebody else wrote. Amen. The cards are available to us today. Thank goodness. Spend time with them. Time speaks loudly to your children. Time is important to your children. And then so make a decision. I'm going to spend time with my kids. And then on top of that, you know, make a decision that you're going to spend individual time with your children. You know, sometimes it's hard just to find family time, much less individual time. But we really need to have a time where, you know, I'm going to be with just this child. I'm going to be, you know, if it's nothing more than maybe meeting them at lunch for school. Of course, there's all the other kids around, but to them, man, that's just you and them. You came there for them. You know, pick them up. I don't know if you can do this. Here we can do it in Clovis, but pick them up for lunch and, you know, run them to McDonald's. You begin to look and say, what are some things that I can do with my kids? What are things that they enjoy? See, don't do what you enjoy, because that might not be what they enjoy. But the best and the easiest way to find out what they enjoy doing is just to ask them. It doesn't take them very long to come up with some pretty good answers. It's amazing to me how many times we tell our kids, what would y'all like to do today? You know, the two number one answers that we get, the top two answers, either going on a walk or going on a bike ride. Do you know how expensive that is? I mean, it was in the beginning when we had to buy the bikes. But, you know, it doesn't cost us to ride down our streets. All it costs is our time. Amen. So take the time. And, you know, everything doesn't cost money. You may think, I can't do anything with my kids. I don't have any money. That's okay. Find things to do that don't cost anything. Tell them, you know, you're a joy to me. You're a pleasure. I'm so glad you're mine. I'm so glad you're a swan. Hold them. Take time to hold your kids. You know, the bigger they get, the harder it is. And you really have to make a concrete decision. I'm going to hold my kids. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they got to sit on your lap. You know, Janae wears the same clothes I wear. She wouldn't be too happy. I wouldn't either for her to sit on my lap. I mean, if she did, I couldn't let her sit there very long. I'd be saying, okay, enough, enough. You know, but when I sit by her on the couch, I can put my arm around her. I can reach out and I can hold her hand. I can touch her. See, all those are ways to show affection. So you begin to look at your children and begin to say, how can I do this? How can I show affection to them? How can I let them know how special they are to me? You know, one morning, Janae just happened to get off to school, and it wasn't really well at our house. I mean, she had done something she ought not have done, and I'd gotten on her, and all of a sudden it was time to go, you know, and out the door she went. And as awkward as it was, I put in a phone call at the school office. And I said, could you please get Janae Swan to the phone? I said, this is her mother. And she said, well, is this an emergency? And I said, well, I said, it's not life or death. I said, but to me, I need to speak with her. And so, you know, she said, well, can she just call you back? So she can't leave class right now. I said, that's fine. Just get her the message that her mother needs to talk to her. So, you know, about 5 minutes later, Janae called. And she's really nervous. You know, she didn't know, oh, my goodness, things weren't well. Now Mama's calling me. And so I got her on the phone, and I said, Janae, honey, I'm so sorry that you had to leave the way you left this morning. I said, no kid should ever have to go to school the way I sent you to school this morning, and I'm very sorry. You know how much weight I gained out of that with her? I mean, she came home. She was just so sweet and wonderful. You're like, man, I'm calling this child every day at school for that, you know? I mean, you know, when we do the right thing, it goes a long way with our kids. Amen. You can never, you know, if we expect them to learn how to admit wrong and repent, then we've got to be the first partakers. We've got to be willing to look at them and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You know, that's a part of being affectionate, a part of letting them know how much I love you and how much I care for you, is I'm willing to say, I was wrong. And would you forgive me, please? I mean, sometimes I think they would like to say, and now give me the rod and bend over. But we don't do that. But Zephaniah 3:17 in the Amplified, it says, the Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with great joy. He will rest, and in his love he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will rejoice over you with singing. Well, do you know, from this we can learn so much. Number one is God said, there are times that I want to spend with you and just enjoy your fellowship. When we go do special things with our kids, we never talk about things needing to be worked on. Oh, it's a good time, seems like. I mean, you have their undivided attention. You're the one that's paying for it. You're the one that took them there. You know, especially my kids love for me to take them out to breakfast. And I always just know you take one at a time. But it's such a convenient time to say, now, Jason, I really haven't been happy with the way you've been treating your sisters lately. And I really want you to work on it. But do you know what? The next week when I said, Jason, you want to go to breakfast? He'd say, it's okay, Mom. Take Janae. Janae really needs to go. She'd like to be with you. But do you know what? If I don't make it enjoyable for them, they're not going to want to go do it again with me. And so when we do special things, it is just that. It's a special, fun, eventful time for them. Okay, so when you go do those things, just make it fun. He said that he would make no mention of your past sins or even recall them. That means, hey, come up here and visit me and let's just enjoy some sweet fellowship. Amen. But then the other thing he said here is that he would rejoice over us with singing. Now let me tell you, parents, whether you are a good singer or not, your kids like to hear you sing. And whether you know the right words or not, they like to hear you sing. They like for you to get involved in their lives. You know, when Jason was, he was just a little kid. To me, too little to have these thoughts, but he kind of went through this little thing. Because Janae's such an outgoing person, you know, she's got 50 friends and he has one, and he doesn't even remember their name. And so, you know, he would kind of go through these little things every once in a while, and he'd say, well, nobody likes me. What's wrong with me? And why am I not like Janae? Why does everybody call her and nobody ever calls me? And he was just little. And so I kept telling him, Jason, honey, people do like you. You're different than Janae, but that's okay. I like you. And I tried to, you know, think of some friends that liked him. But he just wasn't an outgoing kid, you know. He's just totally different than Janae. And so I would try to encourage him, tell him, it's okay, people do like you, you're a good kid, and you're a lot of fun to be around. Although Janae always says you're boring, you're fun to be around. You know, and so he had a Sunday school paper, and he came home with it one day, and he said, Mama, look at this paper. And at the top of it, it said blank, No, God cares for blank. And they had written Jason in that blank. And I said, Jason, I told you that. God cares about you. And he said, I know, it was wonderful. And so I got him up on my lap and we sat down in the rocking chair. And we just started singing this simple little song that I just made up off the top of my head. And it was so, I'll sing it for you, although I'm not, my kids like me. Okay, you just pretend like you're my kids. It was just, God cares for Jason. God cares for Jason. God cares. God cares. God cares for Jason. And when I finished singing, I mean, I didn't even have it planned. I just sang it, you know. And he said, oh, sing it again. And so we sang it again and again and again and the next day, and even still, some days he'll come to me and he'll say, Mom, would you please sing me that song about God cares for me? I've seen it when, you know, when his sisters are kind of feeling not too good, and he'll go in there and sing to them, God cares for Joy. You know, because he's like, man, that did so, I want it to do for you what it did for me. Now, he doesn't use those words, but that's what he's expressing. Hey, man, that did something to me. That lifted me up. That helped me out in my time of need. Song has a way of implanting itself into our hearts and our lives and making changes internally within us. That's why it's so terrible to let your kids listen to the wrong music. Oh, you may think it's not affecting them. Honey, it is tearing them apart. It's pulling them down. It's hurting them. And you know what? If they can't listen to rock and roll, you can't listen to country. I'm telling you, we want our kids. You know what, Brother Rick, our youth minister, he said, I'm telling you, Pastor, he said, I help these kids, and I still can't make them quit acting like their parents. You know what? You can't do the wrong thing and ask them to do the right thing. You can't say, well, this is okay for me, but you're not old enough. If it's not good for them, honey, it's not good for you. Music is powerful. It came right out of heaven. And so when we take this powerful tool that God gave us and begin using that with our children, you know, there's three things that create the atmosphere in your home. It's the words you speak, the music that goes on, and the prayers that are prayed. If you don't have a good atmosphere, if you don't walk in your house and just think, whew, it feels good in here, check up those three things. I guarantee you, you'll have a peaceful home, a home that people enjoy coming to. You know, as a mother of four, the more you have, the more the merrier. It doesn't make any difference how many other kids are over. If you got a fix for 10, get out 10. You know, I mean, if you're fixing for as big a crowd as we got, you may as well, you can handle a few more. And some days I look and I think, why do these kids like coming to our house so good? Why is it every Friday night I've got 3 or 4 kids spending the night at my house? Because they like what they get there. And I like for them to be there. Although sometimes it might be a little bit more work, a little bit more trouble on me, I'd rather have them at my house than my kids at someone else's house. Remember, I'm always creating that atmosphere, making my home pleasant for other people to come into. The words I speak, the music that goes on. You ever go in the grocery store and they're playing just real, real slow, slow music? Why? Because if they put on fast music, you get through that store too fast. They want you to slow down and enjoy their aisles. I mean, every grocery store has slow music. You know why? Because music motivates you. We've taken music way too lightly. You can have havoc going on in your house. Put on a good Hosanna tape. And somehow everything just gets better. What happened? Who changed? The music changed us. Amen. It's real important. The words you speak, the music, and the prayers that you pray. You can create a spiritual atmosphere. in your home by those things. You need to bring your home to a point where your kids can experience and sense the presence of God in your home. Thank God for church. I'm a pastor's wife. I want my kids to be, my kids are churched. I mean, they are churched. Joy's first question every day she gets out of bed is, are we going to church today? But it's not begrudgingly. She can't wait to get dressed up to go to church. Okay? So I want them to know God and to know church. But you know what? They've got to learn God at home too. Because they're not always in church. They need to learn that God is where they are. And you teach them that by letting them enjoy the presence of God in your home through devotional time. And men, I talk to your wives about that. You can talk about that when you get home. Having a devotional time in the home. If you don't want to take it, let her take it. That's okay. She'll take it and she'll be glad to have it. Amen, ladies?
Amen.
Amen. Devotions is good. It's not bad. It's good. But I shouldn't say all three. Janae was born again watching a video in children's church. Jason was born again in my living room with me. Joy was born again in my living room with me. Not because I was so, ooh, kids, you've got to give your heart to Jesus. Oh, please. You know what I mean? Your daddy's a preacher and, oh. You know what? We determined when Janae was born, we would never make our children know God. We would never make them, look at them, give them this eye like, that's your turn. Get up and go down. Hit that altar, kiddo. I know God's talking to you. I don't want to be treated that way. And so we just present Jesus to them. We just live Jesus to them. And Joy, one day we had just finished devotions, you know, nothing about being born again. I just had just our normal little devotions. And after we finished, she said, Mama, she said, I've heard this new word, born again. And I said, where'd you hear that at? And she said, in my Sunday school. She's only in nursery Sunday school, 2 years old. She said, in Sunday school, they talked about being born again. And she said, and everybody should be born again, are you? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, to be born again means that you have Jesus in your heart. Do you have Jesus in your heart? And I said, I sure do. And she said, what about Daddy? Does he? And I said, yes, honey, your daddy has asked Jesus in his heart. And she said, do you know if Janae ever has? And I said, yes, Janae's asked Jesus in her heart. And she said, what about Jason? And I said, yes, honey, Jason has asked Jesus in his heart. And she started crying. I mean, just big old tears. She said, you mean everybody in our family has asked Jesus in their heart but me? And I said, yeah, but you can too. And she said, please help me, pray with me. She said, my teacher said, oh, let's hold hands and pray. And I said, okay, let's hold hands and pray. And so I led her through the sinner's prayer. And she got born again. And she went to Sunday school the next week. And she grabbed this little girl. Her name was Katrina. And she said, Katrina. She said, have you ever got born again and asked Jesus in your heart? And Katrina said, Joy, I never have. And she said, okay, this is all we have to do, Katrina. Because you know if you don't, then the devil is going to get you. Now, I didn't tell her that. She got that from somewhere else. And she said, if you don't, the devil's going to get you. And she said, so all you have to do is hold my hands, and you close your eyes, and I'm going to pray first, and then you pray after me. And the other Sunday school teacher, she said, I'm just sitting there thinking, this is not happening in my class. And she said, before Joy could bow her head and pray, she said, two of the little girls walked over there and said, can we hold hands and pray too, Joy? We never have done that. And so at 2 years old, she led three people to Jesus. Amen. Why? How? Yeah, it was church. Thank God for church. But do you know what? The more we can do at home. Church is to help the foundation at home. It's not to be our foundation. God's the foundation. Amen. So we need to help them. In Jeremiah 33:3 on page 36, it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Do you think God was joking when he said that? He said, call unto me. Do you know what? As parents, there will be things that I'm telling you, if you went to a seminar every weekend for the rest of this year, you would still face things as a parent and say, help. And that's all God said. Call unto me. Help. And I will answer thee. You know what? There's been times I've gone to him about things that, you know, as a parent, how to deal with my kids in this situation and that situation. And, you know, you just say, oh, God, I need your help. You know, you're the great parent of us all. Give me an answer. And there's times, you know, I don't hear the thunders coming out of heaven or, you know, I don't hear this big blast. You know, there's no horn sound or nothing. There's nothing. But maybe 2 days later, I'm just in the kitchen, just washing dishes and just, you know, clean up after supper. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I know how to deal with that situation. I know how to handle this thing. I know the right words to say. Well, who told me that? It wasn't this big blaring voice. It wasn't something that everybody in the room said, hey, Roxanne, did you get that? Did you hear what God said? Now, see, we sometimes when we think God said, we think some, you know, big term out here. But he just talks to us just right on the inside. Sometimes it's just a knowing of, hey, I know the right way to go now. And so then all you have to do is just walk through that door and keep on going. Amen. And say, hey, I know this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to do this thing. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, there may be things about your kids that they're going to face, not just tomorrow being Sunday, but tomorrow being next year or 10 years from now. And the Lord may show you those things or let you know those things and help you to be able to begin dealing with that right now. You know, there's been times when you know, just in the middle of the night, I would be awakened and think, you know, I need to go pray for my kids. Well, I don't go in there and wake up and say, Jason, Janae, get up. I need to pray for you. I just go in there just tiptoe and just as quietly as I can. Sometimes I don't even go in there. Sometimes I might just go in the living room and sit by myself and just pray for them. And then maybe a week or, you know, maybe just a few days later, something will come up in their lives. And it's not hard for them. It should have been hard. It looked like a hard situation. But instead of being hard, they just went right over it and kept on going. Why? I have a dear friend who said this, and it helped me so much to understand prayer. She said, prayer is nothing more than finding out the will of God, what God wants to accomplish on the earth. That's the will of God. And that's right in here. To find out what the will of God is, let's say for your children. Once you find that out, then you give that back to Him so that He can bring it to pass. Because He said, what things soever you desire, ask, and you shall receive. Because he didn't just say, you know, hey, I'm going to work here. Don't ever pray. Don't ever talk to me about it. You know, I've got everything under control. I'm taking care of it. No, he takes care of it when we take our care to him. He said, cast all of your cares upon me. He wants us to be worry-free. He wants us to be carefree. But sometimes that we see it, we know it, it comes on us, and all we have to do is just give it back to Him so He can take care of it. That's what prayer is. Amen. If you have a syllabus, on pages 40 through 41, there's a prayer for you. If you have bought the tapes, if you bought the book, the prayer's there. We're not going to take time in this session to go over that prayer, but it's just scripture. Just scripture after scripture after scripture. We've even left you little blank spaces to write your kid's name in it. If you would like, there's some little cards, prayer guideline cards on our book table back there that you can go back there and purchase one of those. Just slip it right in your Bible and begin to pray the Word of God over your children. But let me say this, it is just that. I call it a prayer guideline. Your kids aren't going to die and go to hell if you don't pray that every day. There's some days I'll begin praying that and just get sent off in another direction. You know, just feel an urgency, you might say, to pray certain things over them or to pray longer over certain things. And so the most important thing for us to learn about praying is to learn how to pray about what. Don't just say, well, I'm going to pray through this and everything's just going to work out. But if you feel like you're led in a certain direction to pray certain things, then follow that leading. Okay? And then when you're finished, you're finished. You don't have to get through that whole card every day. That's okay. The point is, are you praying for them? You know what? There's nobody else, I bet you, that's praying for your kids like you ought to be praying for your kids. Nobody else, they've got enough concerns of their own besides being concerned about your kids. If you haven't been praying for them, the chances are they haven't been prayed for. Amen. It's our job to take our kids to the Lord. But know that God is concerned and that He cares about your children. Amen. But through all the things you learned, I remember when I was a little girl, you know, my mama, she's always been a wonderful cook. And she would bake a cake that would just be just wonderful, you know. I mean, it didn't make it through the rest of the day. It was eaten before we went to bed at night. And so I'd think, you know, well, I'm going to make that same cake. Everybody liked it so good, I'm going to make one. And I would make it, and it'd sit there. And I remember one time I asked my mom, I said, why can you make a cake so much better than I can? And I use the same recipe. And she said, well, she said, honey, after I do make a recipe, I always go back and read every ingredient again and make sure I put everything in. I said, I did that. I'm sure everything got in the cake that was supposed to be. And she said, well, do you follow the directions at the end of the recipe? I said, what directions? And she said, well, you know, where it tells you to start off, you know, putting the shortening and mixing the shortening and the eggs together. I said, well, that doesn't matter because it all's going in there anyway. And she said, but that's why my cake's better than your cake. Because you need to follow, you put in what it says, and then when it says mix, then mix it up real good. My kids still, they'll sit on the kitchen counter and watch me mix it up and think that I'm a magician because I can make those eggs disappear. But you know what? This weekend, you've received a long list of ingredients. And whatever, because see, we're not all going to follow the same directions this time. But whatever ingredient stood out to you the most, that when you heard it, you were like, oh, that's what I need to be working on. Put that one in first and turn the mixer on until those little eggs disappear and you can't see them anymore. That they're so mixed up into your life and your family that you're like, okay, next ingredient, what's next? And you go back to your syllabus, you go back to your tapes, you go back to your book and say, okay, now what was the next thing that I know I really, if you need to, make notes now, you know, okay, A, B, C, D, this is the order I'm going in. And just one at a time. Begin to add those ingredients until all of a sudden you can say, ooh, baby, my cake is ready to put in the oven. Amen. And let God show you how to put it all together. Let Him work within you while He's working within them, your little ones. Amen. Don't try to go home and say, I don't care what you said, I'm doing it all at once. That's the best way, just I'm taking the big plunge. Because you know what? You're going to be asking somebody to drag you out. Okay, just get started. I mean, if you've never done anything, just barely get started. And then look and just add a little more, add a little more, add a little more. You know, we've all heard the little story that when the disciples, I mean, when the mothers brought their children to Jesus, that Jesus said, you know, the disciples told the parents, he said, the master's tired. Why would you bring your kids to him right now? Send them away. But Jesus stopped his disciples and he said, no, let the little children come to me. In fact, I always tell my kids, this is my own made up little part, you know, everybody's got to have a good imagination for something. I said, and Jesus got down on the grass and he played with them and he rode them piggyback and he tickled them and he loved on them and held them. And you may think, oh, that's goofy. Well, you know what? I really believe that. I don't think he just came, you know, the Bible says that he blessed them. I just don't think he, you know, the kids came to him and he said, bless you, bless you, bless you. Go, okay, go on back. I think he took time with them. I mean, could you imagine Jesus doing that to somebody? I mean, if he took time with the woman who had the issue of blood, if he took time to turn around and say, who touched me? Wouldn't he take time after he told the disciples, no, let the little children come to me. And you know what? As big a plan as he had to accomplish on this earth, If he could take the time, we can take the time.
I count it as a privilege. I count it cause for praise to kiss my children goodnight at the close of every day. For I know that only yesterday I helped him with his shirt, or patted my baby on the back, or kissed away a hurt. Tell a story, read a book, wipe a nose or tie a shoe. They never ask me to rub their back. It was a bother, just a troublesome kind of chore.
We're so glad that you've allowed us to share these timeless principles from the Scriptures with you today. As you have been blessed with these teachings, we encourage you to bless someone else by making copies of these tapes and giving them out for ministry purposes. Freely give them to anyone you know who could use help raising their children to be mighty men and women of God. We at Kingdom pray that God's blessing be upon you and your children as you apply these principles from God's Word. For additional tapes on vital issues facing families today that you can freely copy and give out, call Kingdom at 1-800-788-1122. That's 1-800-788-1122.